On this episode of the Almost Athlete podcast, I get a chance to sit down with college athlete Tim Proudfoot and discuss his experience playing high school and college baseball, as well as his insights and advice for anyone who's looking to follow in the same footsteps. Stay tuned for more. Welcome to the Almost Athlete podcast, where I discuss insights to fitness, wellness, and lifestyle that I've gained over the years. Through my experiences, I have encountered countless numbers of people who have injuries, aches, pains, limitations, and health challenges. I believe the vast majority of these could be solved, minimized, or altogether avoided with some basic insight into anatomy and physiology principles, as well as an understanding of wellness, including nutrition and daily habits. My goal is to bridge the gap from the lack of digestible, easy-to-understand information to actionable insights for a more functional, happy life. This episode is brought to you by Back Pain Solutions, 11 minutes daily for improved posture and reduced back pain. Are you tired of back pain? Most people don't realize that their posture and work positions are often causing their back pain. Making some simple daily changes can compound over time to improve your posture and reduce back pain. This program only takes 11 minutes per day, no gym equipment required, and no sweating. To find out more, check out the show notes or thealmostathlete.com/backpainsolutions.
Why did you decide to play college baseball at Texas Tech?
Well, I wanted to play at the highest level that I could.
Okay.
And I think the opportunities I had were basically junior college, and then Tech came into play.
Okay.
So I signed with a junior college at first, but I definitely wanted to play at the highest level that I could. So then I decided to go to Tech. After I signed with Tech, there was a few other offers that were out there, but I felt like that was the best opportunity for me to play right away. And
at Tech?
At Tech, yeah. Because the guy that was there before was just drafted, so I was coming in with a chance to play right away.
The shortstop that was
yeah.
there? Got it. Okay.
Yep.
Nice. So how did you find out about Texas Tech? Like, why were they one that was on the map? Or maybe how did they find out about you?
Yeah, it's a crazy story. So the head coach at the time was from Washington.
Okay.
And he has two autistic boys, which, so his life's crazy, like, busy at home. So they were on vacation in Vancouver. Actually, it was Vancouver or Portland or something like that.
Okay.
Vancouver, Washington. Okay. Yeah. So they were visiting family, and he said that it was just crazy at the house, needed to get out, and got out and went driving around, saw a baseball field. Well, he pulled up, went and watched the game, ended up being our game. We were in a tournament there. And it was late in the recruiting process, so they had already gotten their guys and all that. And he saw me, and then after the game, and I didn't play very good, but I guess he just liked how I was out there.
This was your junior year of high school or senior year?
It's my junior year.
Junior year,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so he liked, liked my body style and all that stuff. So then he met me in the parking lot after and said he was really interested in me, didn't know what money he had, and then called me for the next, once a week for the next couple months. And we kind of went back and forth with money, and then I was trying to wait for other offers and all that stuff, and then didn't sign with them my junior year, and then I waited till my senior year and signed with them.
During the baseball season, or where at in your senior year did you sign with them?
It was...
I know there's like recruiting rules. I don't really know.
Yeah, so they can sign you your junior year. I think it's like June 1st, maybe.
Okay.
Of your junior year.
Okay.
So they have to wait till then, but then they can sign you. Okay. So you can do a verbal contract. I think it might have changed by now, but I think you can verbally commit to them, and then once you can actually sign, is June 1st of your junior year.
Okay.
But yeah, so I think it was late in my senior year because at that point, I was already committed to a junior college, and then he called me, I think it was the day after the draft. So the draft is like the first couple days in June.
Okay.
And he called me right after that and was like, hey, our guy just got drafted. We want you. Are you available? I said, yeah. And he's like, all right, if we fly up there, we have a better offer for you. Would you be interested in coming here or whatever?
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, for sure. So then he was like, all right, you got a game in the morning at 10. This is like the night before I'm talking to him, like 7 o'clock at night. So you got a game at 10 in the morning, right? And I was like, yeah. He's like, all right, we'll see you there.
Oh, jeez.
So, all right. So,
sweet.
Yeah. I guess awesome. They flew some, he said it was at the third baseman's private jet or something like that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That was during the regular season or postseason? Because you guys won state, right? Your senior year?
Senior year, yep. So that was, man.
I don't know, it was a few years ago.
Yeah. I believe it was, I think it was in summer ball, so it would be summer after ball. our season, our high school season was done.
Okay.
Got it. I don't know if that makes sense, but I think
yeah.
because I would have gone to them. Yeah, I think it was. It was summer ball.
Okay.
So it was after our high school season was done, and then
so you thought you were started playing junior college.
Junior college, yeah.
Into that.
Yeah.
Okay. And then it changed.
Yep.
I see.
Because okay. what they had offered me was basically not enough to go all the way down there. Even though they wanted to give me more money, they just didn't have it. They were
right.
tied up.
Right.
So okay. it worked out where
that's
I got
cool.
some money.
Yeah, definitely. So, okay, so we'll, with playing at Texas Tech and especially as a freshman, what was the like most shocking thing that you saw or experienced as a freshman coming in there, good or bad? Or maybe not shocking, maybe just unexpected, you know, whether, I don't know how the accommodations that you guys had,
yeah.
or how much you had to travel or
I mean, everything was just huge step. I mean,
yeah.
you go from living at home,
yeah.
cooking whatever's made that night,
yeah.
to, I mean, sometimes it would be luxury because
yeah.
you're on the baseball team,
right.
but other times you're just a college student and
yeah.
you're just eating crappy dorm food and
right.
whatnot. But the biggest jump was just like baseball in general. Because in high school, you got some guys that are pretty good
mm-hmm.
throughout the state, and everybody's got one or two guys that are pretty good, but when you get to college, it's all those guys that are pretty good or the really good guys are now on one team.
Mm, right.
And so everybody's competing for just a spot to play on your own team,
right.
let alone the playing against other teams too. So
yeah.
at first it was, I want to say there were 20, could be a little more, could be a little less guys that were freshmen that were in our dorm.
Mm.
So Jeez. I think at the end of that year, there was 3 of us left.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So they bring in a lot of guys, and everybody's competing, and then you just outcompete each other. Your guys go to different schools,
huh.
or they just stop playing baseball or whatnot. But
interesting.
Yeah, so for my situation, there was 3, maybe 4 shortstops that they brought in to go to fill that one spot. And I guess they said, if we don't fill the spot with a freshman, then we're going to move our third baseman, who was really good, over to shortstop. So it just worked out where I got an opportunity to play and
yeah.
just never looked back.
Nice. Yeah, yeah. That's awesome.
And the crazy thing was we never knew who was going to play.
Yeah.
Like up to the first game, up to like 5 minutes before the game, which is crazy because usually the lineup is posted that day. Like after BP, it's posted.
Huh.
So everybody knows a couple hours before the game who's playing. We didn't know the shortstop spot was not filled yet. So we were like,
oh, weird.
It was three other fresh. It was me and 2 other freshmen. So we were all just like, oh, who's going to play? And just, it was like a weird thing. And then like 2 minutes before the game, they just went and wrote my name in. And I was just like, okay, I guess
wow.
I'm playing.
Jeez.
Yeah.
That's
but
crazy.
The whole, I mean, not even, I mean, just baseball was crazy. Big
yeah.
jump.
Yeah.
But just everything. I mean, now you're consistently working out every single day.
Yeah.
And you're, you have a nutritionist that's watching what you eat.
Right.
As much as she can.
Right. Sure.
It's just, there's just a lot. Like, it's just fully hands-on.
Yeah.
And that's, if you're not used to that.
Yeah, that's
interesting. Then it's just.
Dude, does anybody, like, did anybody freak out or, like, not do very poorly with having that much control or being controlled?
Yeah. There was definitely a lot of kids that just kind of.
They're like, fuck you, I'm doing what I want.
It really did. Yeah, and it kind of, I mean, with that much, they felt like they wanted to be college kids.
Yeah.
And they didn't want someone to be watching them all the time, and they
yeah.
wanted to go out and party and do what they wanted. And
right.
we ended up losing some good guys because of it. Yeah. But, I mean, eventually they're going to weed themselves out anyways.
For sure. And that's going to be consistent throughout baseball, right?
Yeah.
If they make it to any other level,
yeah,
they're on the same constraints. There's
yeah.
going to be a different age, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. So with all the traveling you guys did, what was your favorite or like most memorable trip that you took? Was there one?
Oh,
I'm sure you
man.
Get there's quite a few.
Yeah, I would say, I mean,
or maybe top.
Playing at the College World Series was pretty awesome.
Yeah, I bet.
But, I mean, we lost two games, so that was unfortunate. But the whole experience, because you're there for like a week.
Yeah.
So you go there a couple days before, you're flying private there and all
right.
that stuff. And it's just,
that's cool.
They're driving, I mean, you're getting motor coached to the everywhere.
Wow.
So you're just, I mean,
where's it at?
It's in Omaha.
Omaha.
Yeah,
okay.
Nebraska. So you're, I mean, you got the police escort taking you down, so it's pretty cool. But
that's cool.
I would say, I mean, every town that you travel to, they have some degree of that.
Mm.
I mean, you go to like the Longhorns, you get off, and there's cameras in your face and all that stuff.
Right.
But I would say either the World Series or not Supers. It would be regionals.
Mm.
At Coral Gables against Miami, and I think there was two other teams there, but I can't even remember who they were. But
right.
it was pretty crazy, just
because cool.
we were like just got out of the tournament. We're like, okay, we're going to Miami. They're pretty good, and we got to go win this. We're the underdogs right now. Let's just go do it. And then we kick butt there, and we're like, oh my gosh, and
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was a blast.
That's
I think cool. that was probably one of the cool trips.
Yeah,
yeah.
So how does high school state championship, how does that experience compare to the college stuff?
That's a good question.
Or does it, or I mean, I'm sure it's kind of in a whole different realm of its own. But.
Yeah. So I had a good coach of mine. He said, after we won the high school state championship, he said, the feeling that you have right now, you only get it a few times in your life. And it's when you win a state championship, you win a College World Series, a World Series, you get married, and you have your first kid.
Hmm.
And they said that's the only times in your life you'll have that feeling. So he's like, just embrace it and stuff.
Yeah.
So
that was cool.
It was pretty cool. And like that feeling was unreal. And I think I had that feeling again when we won Super Regionals because it was in our home field. And it was just nuts. Like it was sold out and like 2 minutes, and they're building grandstands just to fit more people in, and
wow.
it was like basically like game 7 of the World Series from pitch 1, like
yeah.
the whole game, everybody's on their feet, you make a routine ground ball play whatever, and they're just, everybody's freaking out,
that's
you just
awesome.
Won the World Series. And it was just like, it's just
that stadium holds quite a few people too.
Yeah, they hold, I want to say it's like 5 grand, which is not a crazy amount, but
yeah.
then they built a couple more grandstands that add another couple thousand or something like that. So it's pretty packed.
Wow.
And, but it like how it's set up, it's kind of like, I would say it's like kind of the idea of like the Seahawks stadium where it's, the noise is really echoing in there.
Pushes down.
Yeah. It's really like,
yeah.
you feel like the crowd is on top of you when you're playing.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds like an awesome experience.
Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, the state championship was pretty awesome. And like, how we won it was unreal because we were down by, I think we were down by 4 runs in the bottom of the seventh, which high school only goes to 7 innings. Bottom of the seventh with 2 outs. We were down by 4. They walked the trophy through our dugout and we're about to lose this game. I think the other team had like their best closer, their number 2 pitcher or something like that, warming up in the bullpen. And then I think their coach calls a timeout. Those guys run in so that way they can like celebrate. And then we go, I think, 6 first pitch at bats in a row and win the game.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Don't celebrate too early.
Exactly. It was so like,
oh,
I mean, we basically
That's
were
amazing.
All like out of it. I mean, we're just
yeah.
like, gosh, it's over. It was so close. We had it. And then,
yeah.
and then we won. So we were like,
that's crazy.
Just a swing of emotions really quick.
Oh, man. I can imagine how they felt.
Yeah.
Their team.
And I think that
was it one pitcher? Did they go through a couple pitchers?
No, one pitcher.
Oh.
It was just six pitches. 6 batters.
Oh,
so
6 pitches straight.
Everyone swung the first pitch.
Gosh. No way.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And I scored the winning run, and I think our one guy who's hitting like 5-something, Max Brown, he hit a ball to the third baseman. The third baseman picks it up, her backhand, and Max is flying down first base. And he goes to throw it and drops the ball.
Oh.
Game over.
Oh, unforced error.
Yeah.
Oh,
game
that's
over.
Brutal.
Yeah.
So afraid to lose it.
So I don't
not
know.
It's definitely not his fault. It's definitely wow, that's pretty wild.
It was just just unfortunate timing for him to drop the ball. But
yeah. So okay, so what you were saying earlier with the like transition. So you guys won the state championship. You decided to go to Texas Tech. You're
mm-hmm.
playing there. Lots of competition. What was the biggest challenge as far as like the daily like routines, strength work, cardio, like what kind of like training stuff was really challenging for you?
Ooh, challenging. Well, they make it really easy on you. Like they put people in there that are going to be helping you through all this process. So the process isn't really that challenging. It's just like, basically just like doing it. I mean, like waking up every day and saying like, all right, I got a full agenda today. Like I've got a lot to do,
right.
Which is good. Like for me, it was great. And for a lot of the guys that like are passionate about this and that this is what their goals were.
Right.
It's awesome. But like the other guys that kind of want to
just
play baseball and then go do their thing,
school
it was harder. But
yeah,
I think just commit. I mean, I don't know.
Like the consistency of it. Like
I mean, it was nice because you get in a rhythm. Yes, I would say that. I would say the breaks that all the other kids would get, like they're all getting to go out or do whatever. You're like, I'm going to bed because I know I got to get up at 5 to go to weights.
Right.
And then, I mean, like spring breaks and all those little breaks and all that stuff, everybody goes to the beach, but we're there playing or practicing or doing whatever.
Right.
So I would say that was hard at first to get over because you get there and you're like, I'm a college kid.
Yeah.
I want to have fun. Like,
yeah.
Let's go out and do it.
Like,
no, you do that for you do that for a little bit and then you're like, I can't do that. There's no way I can do that and still perform at the highest level.
Yeah.
So once you kind of avert your goals to, I mean, I'm really going to focus on just baseball and this stuff and don't worry about that, then it's a lot easier and it's kind of nice to have something that you're doing rather than all that stuff.
It's funny how that stuff, like the partying and all that stuff, seems so enticing when you like don't have the freedom to do it, but
mm-hmm.
then when you have the freedom to do it, it gets old so fast.
Yes.
And you're like, eh, no,
yeah.
It's like, all right,
exactly.
back to the grind.
Yeah.
So,
exactly.
Yeah. So okay. So on that same note, then now that you're not playing baseball, like the transition out of that routine, I can imagine
mm-hmm.
that was probably just as challenging.
Yeah.
That's probably freeing at first, like yes, finally, and then like, oh wait.
Because it's not. I mean, we always joked about how we like have like okay, my roommate and I would always joke about, man, they just control every aspect of our lives, like what time do you go to bed? I mean, more than just like this is curfew, it's like
right,
you gotta be up at this time, you gotta go to breakfast, and then you gotta go do this, you gotta do that, and there's people making sure you're doing all this stuff. And
right.
So it, like, and then study hall and all that.
Yeah.
So we would always joke like, man, we can't do anything on our own without someone knowing or whatever. We're literally in a schedule that everybody knows.
Yeah.
So that, it's nice, but sometimes it feels like you do want some freedom where you can just like relax and, but I don't know, you put in what you get out. So what you put in is what you're going to get out. So
Yeah, definitely. So, what about, so now that you've lived in Texas for 5 years?
Seven
years? Wow, that's right. Okay,
yeah,
so
I graduated in 11, so
7 years?
Six, seven.
So that's a long time.
Yeah.
So first, when you were there, what did you miss about Washington State, Western Washington?
I miss the mountains. I miss the trees.
Yeah.
Water, because the water down there is not like clear water. Like you go to a river and it's just brown.
Because you're in western part of Texas.
I was in west, yes. But and for the most part, Texas is like that. I mean, you might have a few spots where the water is a little more clear, but for the most part, that's like
just
the water you're going to get there.
Huh.
You're not going to get, I mean, there are places that have like mountains and kind of, I mean, they call them mountains, but it's more like
hills.
And, but I miss that. And then I miss fishing, obviously.
Yeah.
And the weather. Like, I liked that the weather was better in the sense. sense that it was warmer and you could play, and
right.
you are playing, your hands aren't freezing usually. I mean, at the beginning of the season, yeah, but in West Texas. But I did miss the rain, which just because sometimes it just doesn't rain there for a couple months straight. You know, it's
that'd be hard.
Yeah, and I know it, like when you're here, then you're like, man, I just missed the sun.
Yeah, exactly.
But I really did miss it. It was like it finally rained one day, and we all just like went outside and just stood there because I was just excited.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Talk about perspective.
Yeah.
So then now being back in Washington now for a couple weeks, what do you miss about Texas? Or maybe a better way to think about it is you're going to be living back here.
Yeah.
Looking into the future, what do you think you're going to miss about Texas?
Other
than the barbecue.
Yeah,
that's
the food,
definitely way better.
Yeah, the food there, they do have a lot more restaurants that, I don't know, they're just really good.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. There's good food everywhere. And I miss the food here a lot, too.
Yeah.
Teriyaki and, like,
yeah.
sushi and stuff like that. I miss
yeah.
all that. But I will miss the food down there. You can get some really good steaks. And there's hunting down there. I miss that.
Yeah.
And I just started getting into that a lot more.
But that's something you could do here as well.
Yeah, but it's
just
different type. Yeah, so like we got into hog hunting quite a bit, which you can basically do year-round, daytime, nighttime, anytime. I mean, they're everywhere, so they just want you to kill as many as you can.
Right.
So that's fun. It's more of a sport rather than just like, I'm going to go out and get meat.
Right.
Which is nice too, but you get meat out of them.
Yeah.
And the bird hunting is pretty good, like dove and stuff like that. What you can do here, it's just not as, I mean, down there it's really big because that's where all the dove migrate.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I'll miss that. Other than that, Texas is just a crazy place. It's like their own world. You can literally just drive. It's so vast, you can just drive forever and not get anywhere.
That is weird.
It just seems like there's so much land out there. It's just,
It's
insane. It's just crazy.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Yeah.
Do you think you'll ever want to move back there? Or more just visit and, you know.
Yeah, I would definitely want to visit. I could see it happening.
Yeah.
My goals are to be here.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to raise kids here and stuff because I want them to have, like, the life that I had.
Right.
Just because I'm into fishing and
basically
I'm thinking this is the best place to fish. So
it's basically about fishing.
Yeah. So
okay.
Hopefully they like fishing.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. You never know.
You just never know.
Yeah.
I could live in Texas though. I mean.
Yeah.
It's a good place.
Yeah. Yeah. Texas. I mean, I've only been there twice when I came to visit you, but I was pretty amazed at how the things that stuck out to me the most was how kind and like, not just kind, but like out of your way kind people are. Like I've seemed very odd because I'd never, anywhere else that I've been or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
And then like you said about the food, it seemed like there's way more options for going out, food, restaurants, stuff like that. And just like more like, makes you feel good kind of food.
Yeah,
like,
they're not going to be
healthy.
It
makes you feel bad after.
Yeah.
Like, your stomach, but that comfort, comfort food.
Southern comfort,
yeah. Like, definitely. And barbecue there. Cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was legit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's interesting. Now after baseball, you're done with baseball, playing, what do you think, or maybe what would you hope the future would look like for your involvement in baseball? Like, maybe coaching one day, or maybe doing some like training, or I don't know, anything you see yourself being involved with?
I feel like I've gained a lot from baseball and a lot of knowledge, and I feel like it's definitely my duty to pass it on to other people, because I was given certain talents to make it to a level that I did, and I feel like since I've gained so much knowledge, it's just, it wouldn't make sense to just let it go to waste.
Right. Makes sense.
And I still enjoy baseball.
Yeah.
It's just going to be on a different level now.
Right.
Which is good. I mean,
yeah.
I can literally give someone advice and give them lessons, and it can improve whatever it is that we're working on. And that's success for me.
Right.
So it's cool. I'm excited to dive in. I don't know what degree I'll end up diving into it, but I'm definitely getting ready to get back into it.
Yeah.
Because I know I needed that time to kind of let everything cool down and kind of take a step back from playing and then change my mentality to start coaching and give lessons and all that stuff. So I've had some opportunities that have come my way, but it just wasn't the right time.
Right.
So now I'm starting to kind of keep my ears open and looking to see what I really want to get into.
Yeah.
Because there's definitely a market out there and people that really need advice, and I think I've got enough that could help some people.
Yeah. So on that note, what if I was like a high school junior, senior, sophomore, freshman, whatever, high school athlete looking to play at college? You could talk specifically for baseball, but you could, or you could generalize to anyone. But having gone through that experience, like, what would you give as advice? You know, anything that you think would be valuable for that person?
For a high schooler?
Yeah, high schooler. I'm trying to make that next level.
So a big one that I've seen is a lot of people go to these, like, scouting camps, and I would say just they're more money-making places rather than, like, actual scouting and basically,
right.
I don't know, it's hard to, I don't know, I don't want to badmouth any of them, but I never went to any of those, and I had people see me and stuff like that, so
right.
I feel like if you're good enough and you work hard enough, people are going to notice you,
yeah,
whether that's at a camp or just playing.
Right.
I mean, people are going to notice if you're doing good and doing what you're supposed to do and working hard and improving. Then people are going to notice you, and that's, like I said, I never went to a camp, a scouting camp. So I wouldn't, a lot of people, a lot of younger people focus on, I got to go to this camp, I got to go to that camp, I got to let this person see me. They'll see you if you're good enough, they're going to see you.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So I would say focus more on improving your skills and yourself than focusing on trying to get people to look at you, because they're going to see you if you're good.
Right, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's good. I think especially now that there's so many avenues for people to look at you, people get hyper-focused on that. Like,
exactly.
I gotta have a YouTube video, and I gotta have a scouting this, and this, you know, and you, I think you're right. Like,
You're wasting time that you could be getting better by trying to either get your name. I mean, it's definitely gonna get your name out there, but I know people that are emailing coaches and then going to this camp and whatever, and calling and whatever, which is fine.
Yeah.
But there's got to be a certain point where you just have to allow them to look at you.
Well, and we all only have 24 hours in a day, right? So like you said, like if you're doing that, you're by definition not improving your skills and maybe even worsening your skills or becoming a nuisance to people.
Exactly.
You know, and
exactly.
Nobody wants that. So I think that's good. I think that's good advice. So
I mean, don't get me wrong, camps are great and they're good, and a lot of people get seen at camps, but just don't make it your sole focus that I gotta go to this camp or else I'm never gonna get seen by these coaches. Like,
right.
Those are opportunities, but if you're, like I said, if you're good enough and you do what you're supposed to do, and you play good and play hard, you're gonna get seen. People are gonna know.
Yeah.
Because it's a small community. The baseball community is small, even though it seems so big.
Yeah.
It's small, and
yeah.
People talk.
You'll find out.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So, okay. So now I want to ask you kind of the opposite question. What is bad advice that you either hear people give or you've heard given to you, or, and not bad in the sense that like, it's like negative, it's just maybe is not correct. You know? And so it could be, you know, mirroring what you just said. I'm sure a lot of people think that you have to go to these scouting camps. But is there anything else that comes to mind like that? Like making recruiting videos. I mean, I guess that's kind of in the same camp.
It's all in the same realm. Yeah, it's
just really more focus on skills, get better.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Like, so when you get to the higher levels, you definitely can tell. Like when you get to college, you can tell the guys that are fundamentally strong.
Yeah.
And not fundamentally strong, and those guys that are fundamentally strong are gonna start weeding their way out and making, they're going to be the guys that are going to be playing every day.
Right.
These guys, if you get to college and you're not fundamentally sound with all everything, whether fielding, throwing, hitting, running, the simplest things like running.
Yeah.
If you're not in shape and not fundamentally sound, then you're going to basically get to college and that's what you're going to be working on.
Right.
They're going to be having you, instead of you going over to hit with a coach or whatever, they're going to be making it or working on your running form.
Right. Yeah.
So those are things that you can basically critique and make to the best of your ability while you're younger in high school and stuff like that.
Right.
And then you can focus on the advanced things when you get to college or pros or whatever. And those guys are there to help you with those advanced things. And those coaches have to help you with basically the fundamentals, then you're taking away from time that you could be doing
building more skills on.
Exactly. So that makes sense. It's huge to build your fundamentals.
Yeah.
Like people always say, I don't want to do that drill. That's like a little kid drill. I mean, it could be anything from if you're an infielder doing little picket drills or whatever.
Right.
Or just playing short toss and doing certain drills, but you're building a routine that gets you to a point where you're so fundamentally strong where you can then add on a skill set or a skill level on top of that.
Right.
So it's huge to just hone in on those simple things.
Yeah. Well, and the way that I look at that is that's in my world, that's called neurological training, right? Mm-hmm. Neurological training is synonymous with skill. It's essentially the same thing, right? And we build both of those things by repetition and by purposeful practice or training with focus for a reason in a place that's going to improve you. So it's just beyond where you're currently able to do it, but not so much where you're fucking it up all the time.
Yeah.
It has to be that you have to be constantly challenged, but progressing, you know, and I think I see it with people that I train with weightlifting things teaching a basic squat.
Thanks for listening. To learn more insights to fitness, wellness, or lifestyle, or to sign up for my newsletter, go to thealmostathlete.com.